I think it's doing it now. See, because the time is going.
Yeah, it just started.
Okay, good. All right, guys, why don't we start off with a word of prayer? This class is called How to Be an Effective Disciple Maker. So we're going to talk a little bit about it. It might be a little bit different than what you think. So let's pray so you guys don't stone me from the spot, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, for loving us, for caring about us, for giving us our own room, our own class, our own time together as singles, united, and just trying to figure life out, God. Father, it's been a long day. People coming from work, people coming from taking care of just life, and I know everyone's tired. Father, I pray, God, that you would just give us an extra portion of your spirit, Father, that you would just give us energy, that you will give us excitement to hear your word preached, and that, Father, we will learn something. We love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, turn over to Matthew 28, please. Who knows how to make an effective, how to be an effective disciple maker? Out of a show of hands, let me see. Who knows how to make disciples? Okay. So you are in the right class. You are in the right class. Amen. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Somebody read that out loud for me, please. We're going to have some interaction. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Very good, thank you. Okay, who's speaking here? Right, there you go. When we see red, it's Jesus. So Jesus is right now about to go back to the Father, about to go back to heaven, and he gives them one last command. He says, go and make. The first part of being a disciple maker is to realize that we need to make them. They're not born. Your parents could be amazing disciples. You could have amazing disciples in your household. You could work with amazing disciples. Doesn't make you a disciple. You could also be involved in fruitful studies. It doesn't make you a disciple maker. There are certain things that we need to think about, and there's three things I want us to really look at. The first thing is that we need to have the right perspective. Look over at Matthew 6. Just to give you a little bit about my background, I was baptized in the singles ministry. And truth be told, if I wasn't working with the teens, I would love to work with the singles. Because I think this is the second most fun group in the church. I say second most because the teens, you just can't stop having fun with them guys. I love them to death. But truth be told, I don't want to be in a married ministry. I really don't. I love being married. It's awesome. And me and my wife can have fun with some singles and some teens and bug out. I don't know. There's something about being married. Sometimes we kind of lose the spunk and the flavor. I ain't dead. Jeff says that's not him, so, you know, that's why he's here, too. But that's why him and Jessica are here, because they party animals. Somebody read for me Matthew 6, 19 through 24, please. Very good. The first step in being an amazing disciple maker is your perspective. Your perspective needs to be of an eternal perspective. We can't be thinking about just the day-to-day plot of our life. If we do, we get caught up into the daily problems of our lives. You know, every day has its problems of its own, right? That's what the Bible says. It says, don't worry about tomorrow because each day has its own problems. The same thing as far as meeting people for the Lord. Every day is going to bring its own problems. Some people are going to laugh at you. Some people are going to insult you. Some people are going to promise you and not deliver. Yeah, sure, I'm going to come out. And they say that for a year and never come out. And that gets discouraging after a while. But we're about making disciples, not just bringing people out to church. When we share our faith, it's not simply just inviting people to this gathering. It's sharing who we are as a person. It's about being intimate with people. But again, if we don't have that eternal perspective on straight, we're going to be thinking about it's just today and Sunday. We need to be thinking about every day of the week. Our perspective needs to be that we don't really share our faith because we're told to. We do it because it's the desire of our heart. We do it because it's an overflow of our hearts. If we're not sharing our faith, if we're not having these great intimate conversations with people, we need to really check our hearts just to see where we're at. Does it mean you're evil or a bad person? By no means. But it means that you're not focused, that your perspective might be off, and we need to check that. You know, the Bible right here says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Uh-huh. Is your treasure in heaven? Wow. Do you consider people that you're reaching out to future treasure? That you're going to be able to spend eternity with these people? Think about what we do on a day-to-day basis. We're striving to be close to God. As we do that, we're trying to help others to strive to be close to God. It's an amazing privilege. Again, your perspective needs to be that it is a privilege and not a duty.
That's right.
When we think of it as a duty, the same thing about reading our Bibles. I don't feel like reading my Bible today. Well, then you don't feel like talking to your dad. That's really what it is.
Uh-huh.
You could pretty it up. You can make it, I'm tired. Well, we all tired. If you married, I don't feel like talking to my wife today. You in trouble. You're going to have a lonely, long night. If you're a woman, you're going to have an angry husband on your hand. If you have roommates, the same thing. You know, if you have people in your life, you're expected to maintain a relationship with them. The same thing with prayer. Oh, well, I really don't know what to say. You know, the funny thing is, we pray less when we need to pray more.
Uh-huh.
Like when we're in sin.
Uh-huh.
When we mess up and do something wrong, it's like we don't want to go before the throne. But there again, your perspective is off.
Uh-huh.
That's when you need the Father even more.
Because
that's when he can heal you and cleanse you and get you right back on the right path.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Come on.
Okay. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's very easy for us to be great disciple makers when our heart is in it.
Uh-huh.
When we have the desire. When we see people, we don't see people as good looking or bad looking. We don't look at them as being rich or poor. We look at them as lost or saved. They could be looking fantastic, living in the most beautiful house in the world, but they're going to hell at the end of the day. What is your heart towards those people? What is your perspective for them? Well, they look like they're doing all right. We go after people that we feel are easier to talk to. People that are down to earth like we are. But we don't look to reach people that challenge us,
uh-huh.
that are different than us. A lot of times we'll share our faith with someone that's our same ethnicity.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times that's sin,
yep.
because there's a prejudice behind it. And we need to be careful of that. We also might just share our faith with a man. If you're a man, you just might only share your faith with men. Women need to go to heaven too. See what I'm saying? Your perspective needs to be changed.
Come on.
It needs to be that everyone around you needs to know God the way you do. We need to be mature and realize that this is a privilege. Look over in Mark 12. You know, it's awesome because God called us out of this world to be on a mission. And it's not simply just for us to be content, but that it's a privilege. Mark 12, somebody read verse 30 for me. Yes, please.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.
Very good. Can this be any clearer? How we're supposed to love God. We're supposed to have this standard in everything we do as disciples. With all our strength. With all our heart. When we're not out there reaching out to people, we need to check our hearts. We need to see if we're being cowardice. That is a sin. Richard's always talking about how you can't mess with me, I'm a prince. And when I first heard that, I was like, wow, that's really cool. But it really impacts me, the way that he carries himself. You know, when I'm with him and we're hanging out or whatever, I mean, he shares his faith all the time. He's not afraid of anybody. He'll go walk right up to somebody, throw his hand out there and share his faith. Why? First of all, he cares about them, but no one intimidates him. That's not because of who he is. It's because of whose he is. He understands that God is his dad. When you know that God is your father, you walk with a different step. You have a different swagger about yourself. You have a different attitude. It's not conceit, but it's confidence. When the God of this whole universe got your back, you don't have nothing to worry about. But yet we worry to share our faith with our coworker. Yet we worry to talk to our family and say, hey, you know, why don't you come to church with me? There's something wrong with that. And we need to have that perspective. We need to love our God with all our hearts. Another thing that we need to do is we need to be about our purpose. Look at Luke 19, please. Luke 19, somebody read verse 10 for me. Very good. Again, this stuff ain't rocket science, y'all. It's very simple. You open your Bible, it's right there. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. If we're disciples, if we're little Jesuses running around, what is our purpose supposed to be? To seek and to save what is lost. You know, Galatians 5:19 talks about that the acts of the sinful nature is what? Obvious, right? You know the people in your circle that aren't right with God. You know, we get afraid because we say, oh, I don't want to judge nobody. You ain't got to judge nobody. Just look. Open your eyes. The Bible calls us to discern things. There's a difference between discerning and judging. I ain't sending no one to hell, but if I see you doing nasty things, I kind of know where you're going. If your standard isn't the standard of God, I'm not judging you. I'm not the one telling you to do that. The Bible judges you. Your actions judge you. But I say that to say that if you see it and don't say anything, what's wrong with you? Ezekiel 33 says, if the sword is coming against your brother, and if you don't tell your brother the sword is coming, his blood will be on your head. It is our responsibility as disciples to warn this world about the coming wrath. Uh-huh. We definitely need to talk about the goodness of God. We definitely need to talk about his grace. But if you don't tell them that there's a foot behind that grace that's coming, God is looking at you as not being an effective disciple. Wow. We need to be people that use all of our opportunities for this purpose. Wow. You guys with me? Okay, very good. Let's look at, let's see, Acts 8, please. See, when we first started the class and I said this class might be a little different than what you might think it is, I know if I read the title, How to Be an Effective Disciple Maker, I thought I would be given a kit. You know, maybe a utility belt or something like that and, you know, the 5 tips on how to make disciples. No, this ain't that type of party. What this party is about is a party about the heart. It's an issue of heart. God doesn't tell us how to do it. He just says, go do it. Guess what? He fills us with his spirit, and his spirit does it anyway. It's not about us. If we get out the way, God can do amazing things. But we have to get out the way. Let's look in Acts 8. Somebody read 26 to 32, and somebody else read 33 to 40, please. You right. Stone hurt. No, I'm kidding. Very good. Thank you. Let's tear this scripture up and let's really get a lesson here. You know, it's amazing the way that God decided to write the Bible. This is a lesson on how to share your faith. It's a lesson on how to lead somebody from not knowing anything to baptism, to being totally converted. And it seems like in a very short period of time. I don't think they had a study series when he did this. You know what I'm saying? He didn't even have a Bible. They had the old Testament. So they had the scriptures. So let's look at this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip. What do you get from that? The Spirit talked to him. Are you guys listening for the Spirit? Are we spiritually discerning people? Or do we push the Spirit out and we try to do it all of ourselves? How many of you talk yourself out of sharing your faith with people almost on a daily basis? I do it all the time. I'm going to share my faith with him. Man, he looks kind of angry. I don't know if I can mess with him. And he's from Chicago and he might hit me. I don't know. I'm from New York, boy. We could go for it. Anyway, I'm going to share my faith with her. Well, she's a woman and she might think I'm trying to hit on her or something like that. Or, you know, and next thing you know, you're walking through the whole day and you're making excuses. This person looked upset. This person looked too happy. This person looked drunk. You know, what's going on? And next thing you know, you're walking around and making excuses, and the Holy Spirit's screaming at you, him, that guy over there, he wants to commit suicide. And if you don't talk to him, he might. Her over there, she's a stripper. She wants to meet a real man, not one that wants to use her. That one over there, they're okay, but they're religious. Those are the ones that scare us the most. You know what's the fix to that? Get in your Bible. Know your scriptures. Then you don't have to be intimidated by nobody. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't know it just for knowledge. But you're able to, if somebody starts coming at you with this praying Jesus in your heart type stuff, you can throw a couple of scriptures at them and help them out. Not in arrogance, but in love. You can't do that if you're not reading your Bible. That was free. Okay, so, see, Philip minded his own business. He's just going down, he's going, walking around, and the angel of the Lord, the Spirit told him, go and do this. How many times do you fight the Spirit when it's telling you to do something? Go this way when you know you're supposed to go that way, but like, no, but something's telling me to go this way. You don't have the Spirit of God in you for no reason. He's not just chilling in there, just hanging out. He wants to work in you. He wants to use you to do something. Why are you stopping him? You are literally stopping the hand of God working in the lives of millions of people in this world. But we got to think of it that way, guys. We really got to take it serious that we ourselves stop the hand of God. when I think of it that way, that convicts the snot out of me. Can I say snot? Okay. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch. What does that tell you? What everything I've been saying is true. He went the way God wanted him to, and he met somebody. Ding dong. You know, again, this ain't rocket science. If you do it God's way, it comes out God's way. You do it against God, you will not get the response or the reaction or the outcome that you want. Boy, we can go a lot of places with that one. I'm not going to chase that rabbit. All right. So he meets the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, this isn't just any ordinary Ethiopian dude. This is the treasurer, the official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This is a big wig. It's like meeting a senator. How many of you would share your faith with a senator? I know I'd be very intimidated. Do you allow people's position to intimidate you? If you met Barack Obama, would you talk to him about politics? Or would you bring about the gospel to him? Why do you think God would want you to meet him? You got the Spirit of God with you. Take that opportunity. Invite him to church. Who knows? He might come just for a publicity thing. Who knows? He might just come because the Spirit of God is slapping him in the face and telling him, you need to get your life right. You don't know. You have an amazing ability that you don't even know you have. Because the Spirit of God living in you is going to be able to use you in a great way. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Again, the Spirit is not going to give you all the answers. Wow. You can't handle all the answers. But be obedient with what you know.
That's right.
I'm going to say it again. Be obedient with what you know. And don't be anxious for the rest. Just chill. We all frazzled. We got to do something or we don't do nothing. It's either we're one or the other. We're all like, you don't know which, you're chasing, like a dog chasing his tail. I don't know which way to go. Other times, like, man, I'm just frustrated, I ain't going to do nothing. I'm tired. That lady cussed me out on the road. That other one flipped me the bird. I didn't get my favorite snack. I'm just upset. I'm just going to go home, make me a latte, and go to sleep. Again, you disobeyed the Spirit of God. When did we stop fearing God? As a church, when do we stop fearing God? Are you off when the clock clicks at your job? For me, as a single, that's when I went on. Boy, I couldn't wait to get out of work. But see, I didn't start being a disciple when I got out of work. I was working as a disciple when I was at work. Now, I gave them their good 8-hour day. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says, do everything as you're doing for the Lord. So, you know, I had to get corrected on that too. You know, you can get real excited. Next thing you know, you're answering phone calls from disciples and praying in the bathroom and meeting people for lunch. And it's a spiritual lunch. So I can take an extra half hour and doing all this kind of other stuff. And you say you're doing it for God. Okay, yeah, right. Anyway, you have to remember when you're over there, you're supposed to do your job. Doesn't mean you can't have conversations with people. Those people outside of your own family and relatives know you better than most people. You will have a bigger impact on them than most people will. While I was at my job for my 8 hours, 9 hours, I shared my faith. I studied the Bible with people at lunchtime. I did that. I didn't wait till the clock ran out. But also, what do we do when the clock runs out? Do we run home to our jacuzzis? Do we run home and say, oh, man, thank God the day's over? Man, the day's just begun. If you're single, you have a lot more time than if you were married or if you have kids. Now, I'm not one of those people that say that single people got all this time flowing on their hands. I don't believe that for a second either, because I was single for some time. But I was a disciple for 4 years before I got married. But during those 4 years, I lived life to the full. You know what I'm saying? When I got out of work, I didn't have to run home to watch no babies or kids. I didn't have to worry about if my wife was in bed. I ran out with the boys, and we studied the Bible with people till 2 o'clock in the morning. We went and shot pool, and we played ball, and we did that. I had an amazing life. I try to bring some of that into my married life. As long as my wife feels good about it, we good. I'm serious. I've been known to get brothers in trouble. Hey, bro, what you doing? It's 10 o'clock. So what? Let's go shoot some pool. What? Yeah, but this is a different married ministry. Come on, let's go. And if their wife is good, we go. What? Where you going? I'm going shooting pool. Where you going? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're going someplace crazy, then I'm not in sin. We have a good time. Next thing you know, you're meeting people. They're like, what church you go to? You out here at 2 o'clock in the morning, not drunk, not cheating on your wife, having a good old time, and righteous in the Lord. I want to go to that church because they have life, and they're not all stuffy. But that's a different lesson. That's a different lesson. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. Whoever's editing this, please edit that. Thank you. Okay. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. What would you call that person? Eager. Open. Wide open. Help me. I don't get this. Have you ever read the Old Testament and felt like, man, I don't even get this. You wish you had Philip hanging around with you. I wish the Spirit would call somebody and explain this to me. Well, he did that day. Philip listened, and this guy was humble enough to ask for it. When's the last time you met someone that was that humble? They're very far and in between. So when you find them, what should you do? Jump all over them. I mean, don't be overbearing, but, you know, you want to be like, man, I'll answer whatever you, what you got, what you need. I got what you need. You know, it's right here. Let me help you. And what did Philip do? Oh, let me climb in with you. And he climbed in, and he got close. He broke the barrier. This guy was Ethiopian. He was Jewish. He didn't worry about the distinctions. He didn't worry about any of that. He climbed into that thing. So let me show you. Turn over to, and he started showing him stuff. And they got close really quick because he didn't kick him out. You see anywhere that he kicked him out? That would show he wasn't close with him. Get out my van, man. I don't know you. But he let him stay there and teach him. Amen. There are thousands upon thousands of people out there in the streets of Atlanta, in the streets of Gwinnett, and everywhere we go that are open. They're just not wearing signs on their faces or masks saying, somebody baptize me, please. But if we had the eyes that could see, the way God can see, you would see tears, you would see pain, you would see people saying, God, where are you? I am hurting. Before I became a Christian, that's how I was. I was out there buying a new suit or new clothes all the time. You know why? Because I didn't do my laundry. I was out clubbing too much. I was out partying too much. So when I got home, I threw it in the other room because I had a nice big apartment, single by myself. Threw it over there. I'll get to it eventually. I spent $400. $400 getting all my laundry done one time. Wow. And everybody's like, man, you're so sharp. You always got new clothes. I'm like, yeah, I'm broke too. Because I'm always buying new clothes. But I was sharp. I had it going on. I had a good job. I was making more money than most of my friends. I was going to all the cool clubs. I was smoking the best stuff. I was drinking the fine up there wines and whatever you want. You know, I was up there. And I hated myself. I hated life. I wanted to commit suicide a couple of times. And then one day I finally said, man, I can't handle this anymore. But no one saw that. No one had those spiritual goggles. They saw me just walking around, having fun, laughing, hee hee ha ha, whatever. But I was dying inside. There's people all around you that are dying. Dying. That the day that you're going up, they're going to be going down. And you're going to watch. How are we going to feel then? The Bible says there are no tears in heaven. But guess what? There might be some tears on that staircase. There might be a lot of tears on that staircase going up. Because we're going to see a lot of our friends going down because we didn't have the courage to open up our mouths. There's people out there that need us, that we actually love. There's people there's family members that I am estranged with now, however you say that word. We ain't got a good relationship right now because I shared my faith with them so hard. One of my aunts, she's very Catholic. And we would talk and talk and talk. Then it started to get to argue. Then it got into shout. Then she's like, I don't want to talk to you no more. All right, whatever. What can I do? You know? But are you willing to lose relationships to help them in the long run? Let's keep on looking at this. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Who was he talking about there? Jesus' message is powerful. When you read about a man like this, you're like, you got to stand notice. You got to say, who is that man? Who is that man? He did that for me. Remember that what you're giving to people is powerful. It's necessary. It's needed. So don't feel bashful about giving it. You're giving a service. You're a hero. A lot of times we're like, I don't want to bother people. They tired like I am from work. They have problems. Well, you got the answer. He gave them the simple message of Jesus. That's all you got to do. You don't have to be a theologian to do this. You just have to have the heart to do it. The eunuch asked Peter, asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Is it good news? Is the scriptures to you good news? Or is it old news? Have you been a disciple so long that this is crusty to you now? Or is it still fresh and vibrant? Is it still exciting? I love studying the Bible, people. Oh, I love studying the Bible, people. You know why? Because it's all fresh to me again. Every time I do the cross study, I cry. Every time I talk about discipleship, I see how much I lack. Every time I do a Bible study with somebody, it reminds me why I'm here. I'm not here just to be a minister. I was doing this way before I got this as a job. This is my life. This is my passion. Is this your passion? That's the next thing. Turn over to Acts 2. We need to have a passion for the mission. Acts 2. Somebody read for me 38 through 41, please. Very good. Passion. What are the passions in your life? When you hear the word passion, what comes to your mind? What's the first thing that stirs in your heart? That's what you're passionate about. Whatever just came to your mind, you're thinking about things. Passion can be driven. Passion sometimes has to be taught. Being righteous is not natural. Matthew 28 says, and to teach them everything. We are in the process of being taught everything. Being a disciple is hard. But you know what? If we're being taught everything and we're putting it in our lives, it does become easier. Right. It does become easier. But passion. I can't do this without passion. Mm-hmm. Why do it then? If I'm just going to come up on Sunday and Thursday, why bother coming? I always said, I will never fake it. I won't front. I leave first. I will fall away first. I think it was about a year and a half as a disciple. No, I don't think that long. About 8 months or 9 months as a disciple, I was going through some stuff. And they had put me in leadership way too early. I couldn't handle the pressure. And we were leading. I was leading in the teens. And I thought it was all about me. Man, they can't do nothing about without me. I'm the man. And God said, yeah, let me show you something. And he started dancing on me a little bit. And I was like, oof, I can't handle this. So I remember I was looking for a brother that baptized me. I was like, yo, man, let me talk to you. He said, walk and talk. I hate walk and talk. Walk and talk is I ain't got time for you, really. So I'll give you what I can from here to there. And I needed some FaceTime. I need some time right now. I'm not doing well right now. And he said, walk and talk. I said, and I broke out. That was the midweek. I didn't go to midweek that night. Ooh, Lord. It was like I had fallen away. And for me, it was. It was like I left, and I'm going the opposite way to the train and to the bus stop, and people going, John, you're going the wrong way. No, I'm going the right way. Forget this place, man. I can't handle this no more. Got home. By this time, my parents had already been baptized. They come home after midweek. They're like, what happened to you? I ain't going to that church no more, man. I'm going to go back and do my thing. And, man, they were like, yeah, okay, whatever. You crazy. All right, go do your thing. I did my thing for 3 days. That was my long fall away period. And I went back to my old life. I went back to the bar that I went to. And I walked in, and it was the same people on the same stools. Exactly. It looked like Cheers. And it was the same people. And I walked in. They were like, John. I was like, what's up? They're like, where you been? I said, man, I fell away, but I came back. And I said that. And I said it deliberately as a joke. And I laughed it off. I thought I was so cute. And I laughed. Went over to my bar stool and sat there. And I drank myself silly. Didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything. I hadn't drank for almost a year. The smell of liquor should have got me drunk. But I drank. And I drank, and I drank, and I didn't feel anything. And I sat there, and I was there for about 2 hours, and I'm like, why am I not drunk? I should be tore up right now. Why am I not drunk? And I'm looking around, and as I'm looking, and I'm really seeing. See, I believe that if drunks could really see what's going on when they're not drunk, they would run out that place because they can see that it's so depressing. So I'm sitting there like, let me get another one, man. Make it a double, please. Yo, you giving me water back there? Is my minister back there? What's going on? I just pushed back from the bar, you know, threw my money, and they were like, oh, John, see you later. I said, you'll never see me again. I ran home, and I was crying. I was weeping. And my mom's like, what happened? I said, man, I tried to get drunk, and I couldn't. I said, I drank everything they had, and I couldn't find it. And she was like, God taught you something. She goes, now take that lesson and do something with it. And I have never fallen away since. That's 15 years ago. I don't plan on falling away no time soon, but I promise you this, I'm not going to fake it. If we're in here and we're plodding along, I implore you, talk to somebody. Be open about wherever your heart is so that you can get the help. And if you're a person that somebody says, can I talk to you? Don't you dare tell them walk and talk. Because you might be the reason they leave the kingdom. We are responsible for each other. See, we need to be passionate about reaching the lost, but we need to be passionate about loving those that are in this room.
Right. Amen.
Peter was a passionate kind of guy. How do you know this? In verse 40, it says, with many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. See, if you're not passionate, you ain't pleading with nobody. I'm not Keith Sweat. I don't beg nobody. Some of you ain't even old enough to know what I'm talking about, but it's okay. Now some of them people are catching it now. God don't beg. He doesn't have the reason to. He put Jesus on the cross. He showed us already that he loves us. Peter's love for these people, he begged them. He pleaded with them, leave this generation. Leave the sin behind. And what did it produce? Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. See, people want to hear it. They want to be pleaded to. They don't know it. But when they hear the word of God, when they hear the words of eternal life, people will respond. The Bible says it will not return void. It will carry out its work. But are we carrying out the work we're supposed to? Are we passionate about reaching people? You know, we need to be passionate about what we do with our time. We need to be passionate about what we do with our time. You can't allow things to steal your time, whether it be TV or playing around. Am I saying not to watch TV? It's okay. Do it with somebody, though. Hang with people. If you're with yourself a lot, by yourself a lot, that's strange. Jesus wasn't like that.
That's right.
Jesus always had people around him.
That's right.
But if you say, well, I'm not a people person, change. Change. There's no way to sugarcoat it. Change. It's hard? Yes. I bet you it was hard for him to go to the cross too. But he did it. Why? For you. If we need to change things in our character so that we could be more effective to meeting people and reaching out to this world, those are the things that God is calling us to do. He says if you do not, in Luke 9, it says if you do not carry your cross, when? On a daily basis, you cannot be my disciple. He didn't say you'd be a little disciple, you'd be a minor disciple, you'd be a struggling disciple, you're a lukewarm disciple, or you sometime disciple. He says you can't be a disciple. This is serious business, y'all. You guys are in a great stage of life. Being single affords you opportunities that marriage don't have. It just looks different. I'm not going to say marriage don't have a responsibility, because we do, by all means. You know, it's not like you arrive when you get married. But in the stage that you're in now, you have opportunities to have more parties than you can know what to do with. You can go on more dates than you know what to do with. Boy, I was a dating fool. I was dating on Saturday. If I could get somebody, I'd date on Sunday. If I could have 2 dates, I'd meet date on Friday. I was dating, but it was righteous. Never did anything with anybody. I dated all the time. Why? Because we had a lot of sisters. And there was a lot of encouraging that needed to go around. Are the sisters encouraged in here? I know that's a hot topic right there. Are the brothers encouraged in here? Well, I see a lot of smiles going on. See, dating is a great opportunity to share your faith. Because when people see you dating out in the world, they look at you kind of funny, like, y'all don't match. Y'all don't look, why aren't you holding hands? What are you going to do afterwards? You can share your faith with that person. Stop being nasty. No, I'm saying. I'm serious. There's opportunities for that too. Oh, she's cute. Oh, you're going to try. Man, shut up. No, it's not like that. And you can teach people. By what? By your example. Dating is a great opportunity. Dating is a phenomenal opportunity to reach the lost. When you're out there in the movies and you're out there in the dinners or whatever, when you're having dinner parties at home with a bunch of singles, you can invite your friends. I mean, there's so many opportunities. But again, this class is not about, I'm going to let Chandra and, you know, let them deal with the five greatest tips to run a singles ministry. What I want to help you with is the heart. Because if you have the heart, no matter what you do, you will be successful. Why? Because it's God doing it. The minute we think it's us is when we lost. We lost. Because that's when Satan has us exactly where he wants us. He wants us to be inward focused, as it is. And when we think that it's all about us, that's when we really lose. Guys, we need to have the right perspective. We need to be about a purpose, and we need to have a passion for the mission. We need to pray to God to give us the heart that we need. Is all this natural? By no means. This is hard stuff. But you know what? It's not so hard if you have the Holy Spirit and you're with God and you're working with God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Why don't we pray and close it out, and I'll let you guys go.
Amen.
Why don't we pray? Father, we thank you so much, God, for the amazing God that you are. Father, we don't deserve you. We don't deserve to be in the station of life we're in. We deserve to actually be stuck on a cross because of the sins that we've committed. But yet, Father, you've forgiven us. You've given us grace. You've given us love. You've given us purpose. You've given us passion. You've given us perspective. Father, you are an amazing God, and we love you so much. Father, again, we don't deserve to even be in your presence. I thank you for every single man and woman in this room. I pray, Father, that you will give them many blessings, God, that you will give them strength, Father, that they were encouraged by this message, and that, Father, they will be amazing disciple makers for you. Father, it's not about the church. It's not about leadership. It's not about that at all. It's about Jesus commanding us to go and make disciples. And Father, I pray that we're an obedient bunch, that we love to do this, that this is our heart, and Father, that we are pleasing to you. We love you. Be with us as we go home tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.